All right. Now, you notice there's no scripture listed this morning. That's because I'm going to ask Tim to come up and pick up some flyers. And I have the scriptures for you along with some different thoughts. Now, this morning we are going to be starting to talk about God. Now, we are actually going to take 4 weeks to talk about God. But we're going to start with just an overview of God. I want you to recognize we are talking about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Because right now, today, we're dealing about who God is. Not about the differentiation, but the unity, the oneness that is there. All of the things that we're going to look at in Scripture today would apply to all of who God is. All right? Does that make sense? So, we're going to talk about God the Father. We're going to talk about God the Son. We're going to talk about God the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about the term Trinity. We're going to talk about the term triunity. We're going to talk about all these different things and try to get a handle on it. And I understand that for some people there are certain words. The word person can be a red flag. And we're going to talk about that and what the purpose of that term is and what the purpose is not in that term. So there's all these things, but we're not going to do that today at all. Okay? Today, we're laying the foundation of who God is. Amen? All right. How many of you ever remember hearing the word omnipresence? Okay. Remember, as we were children, we started hearing that God is all present, omnipresent. And you know what? I struggled with these terms because there's omnipresence, there's omnipotent, and I can't even say that one. That's why I always struggled with it. The all-knowing, all right? So, I want us to look at that. These terms are Latin, okay? They're not in the Scripture. You won't find them in the Bible anywhere. They are Latin terms, all right? But the Bible does teach the concept. So, omni means all. Simple. Omni, when you hear the word omni, it means all right? Now, when you hear the word presence, it is from the Latin, and I'm not going to try to say the word, it's on your paper, okay? And it simply means here. God is here, but God is sitting beside Johnny. God is sitting beside Shirley. Not only that, if I open my mouth, or I don't have to open my mouth, God is in there, because God's in within me. God is here everywhere. And you see, for us, that's a concept that's really hard because we are spatial creatures. We see everything. This is a pulpit, okay? We see it. But this was a tree. Can we see the tree? But the tree had to, I don't want to say give its life because I don't really think they have it. But it had to be chopped down and changed its form to become a pulpit. All right. But God is even there. He's in the pulpit. Because he's everywhere. All right. Now, we can't do that, can we? Because we are limited. God is not limited. And that's why we need to see that whole first part, how impressive. When we say the word all, we're talking about all, you know, not just all, but all right. So I hope you get this. Now, Psalm 139, verses 7 through 10 says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I go from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. Now that Sheol is the grave, okay? All right. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me and your right hand will lay hold of me. So now you get this whole idea when the missionaries go away for their mission trips, God is there. There's no place that they can go that God is not there. All right. Now, all knowledge. Okay, again, Latin. And it means that God knows all. We already got the all part down, right? I don't have to go back over that. But I want you to think about the vast knowledge. I want you to think what it would take for you and I to create a flower. Vast amounts of chemistry. Because it took all kinds of chemical compounds to make that come about. Vast amounts of artistry, yes? So, that's what I'm saying. So, then he said, okay, I want more of these flowers. So he knew he had to make, within the flower, the ability to have more flowers. So he created the seed. But God knew every single aspect of what it would take. I can't imagine that. It just amazes me when I look at the wide variety of the color green. When spring comes out, have you ever tried to count all the different colors of green? I don't think you can. Because every tree, every grass, kind of grass, every flower stem, all of them have different shades of green. It's amazing. And doesn't that green just make you feel warm? Think about it, especially after this winter. You know, this has been an unusual winter for us here in central Ohio. We're not used to this many snowstorms and this much cold days. So when that green comes, it just, oh, you just feel like not only is the ground bursting forth, but you are too. It's like, oh, thank you, Lord. He knew we needed that too. Amen. So he knows all. And from Psalm 139, gee, that's a good psalm, isn't it? It says, my frame was hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written down the days that were ordained for me when as of yet there was none of them. Did you hear that? So, Mark and Shirley, you go back and you have Sabrina see 139. God already knows the days of this baby that's coming. And hallelujah, he knew that. And this is what I want us to see, is that God has all knowledge. He even knows, because he sees what? Past, present, and future. He's not limited. You and I see present. We've seen the past from when we were born, but we can't go beyond that, can we? I can't go back and see the past of my parents. All I can do is hear the stories, but I can't actually see it. But God's not limited. He can see all of that right now. He can still see the past. And that's what's so beautiful, is because when God sees us struggling with a situation, he knows why the struggle's there. He knows about the hurt that caused us to have this struggle. He knows about the affliction. He knows about the health issues that are causing the challenges. He knows all of that. He sees all that. And he sees how it is playing a part in the decisions I make right now. And he also sees that what can happen, all of the possibilities, especially when I learn to hear what he wants and when I am willing to obey what he wants. All right. Now, this is the next one that really excites me, is all-powerful, omnipotent, all-powerful. This is another thing that you and I probably just cannot comprehend. The power that God has. Now, what's also beautiful is the fact that God has established rules of how he is, who he is, and why he will do certain things. So even though he could send down a lightning bolt upon all the people that are liars and cheaters and killers and so forth, his love says, no, I'm not going to do that. I am going to reach out to this people. I want you to think about Sodom and Gomorrah for a moment. There was not much to love there, was there? Sin, 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 sin. There was just a lot of sin. And yet God loved that town, and it broke his heart. And when Abraham went to him and said, but would you spare them if I can find 100? And you know the whole story, how he works his way down. And he says, yes, if we can find that much, I'll save this place. He didn't want them to have to be destroyed, but he knew sin had to be destroyed. So, in essence, what happened is he took what was good out of Sodom and Gomorrah, which happened to be Lot and his family, and took them out of the situation before he destroyed them. God has now given us another way of dealing with sin. Because he saw that he would, in essence, be constantly having to destroy the world. This happened with Noah. Now, he already knew that. He knew that from the beginning. But he also knew from the beginning that he was going to send his son. Isn't that what's amazing? All the way from the beginning. That's what goes without all knowing. So Jeremiah 32:17 says, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and your outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Remember us singing that in a praise chorus? All of a sudden, all you have to do is read those words and the chorus is flying through your head. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Hallelujah. It's a wonderful song. All right. Now, God has several names by which he's known called compounds names. They start with Jehovah and they have another ending. I have 8 of them here for you to see this morning. And I want us just to take a few moments because I see that we are going to, we could be here next week. All right. But we're not going to be. I promise. All right. So, the first one is Jehovah Sekenu out of Jeremiah 23 verse 6. It means the Lord, our righteousness, and this is where we find it. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell securely. And this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteousness. Now, if you go to that chapter and you start looking at it, I see a future prophetic sense in that chapter. Okay? Because it is talking about how he's going to gather from the north and so forth and so on and bring his people back to his land. Well, many people believe that this scripture was talking about and started when Israel was restored as a nation. Now, it also talks so that they're going to end up living securely. Are they in a secure situation at this point? No, not at all. We know that there are people all around them that hate the nation of Israel. Okay, so we have to see that part of this is futuristic. It's saying that once Jesus comes back, this will take place. There's going to be a time when Israel will be restored. And now, again, and I'm not going to go on to all the end time things that we could go into, but it talks about a new heaven and a new earth, a new Jerusalem. So these are all things that we could go into, but that's not the concept here. The concept here is that the Lord says he is our righteousness. And that's what I want us to see. So I don't want us to take the rabbit trails today. Just the fact that he says, I am going to be the righteousness of all of my people. And so, guys, that includes us because we were grafted in. We are a part of the righteousness. Now, I'm not saying that we're Jews. Don't go down that trail either. That's another rabbit trail. Don't have time for it today. We're just trying to look at what God says. He is our righteousness. All right. Then, Jehovah Makedesh, the Lord who sanctifies. Now, this is where we can see truly how Jesus was the one who brought about that perfect sanctification, because he took upon himself all the sins of the world. Out of Leviticus 20, this is where we find it says, I am the Lord who sanctifies you. If you look at Leviticus 20, you'll see that he's talking about the punishment for sin and listing the different sins. And so that all of a sudden has this little section right in the middle of it who says, you shall consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am the Lord your God. You shall keep my statutes and practice them, because I am the Lord who sanctifies you. Hallelujah. This is our God. He sanctifies us. Amen. Hallelujah. He's our righteousness. Hallelujah. Now, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord who is peace. Now, if you remember, a couple years ago, I did a whole series on the names of God. I went through all of these, so that's why I'm kind of glossing over these. But shalom does not mean the absence of strife. What it means is the wholeness in every aspect of your life. Okay? The wholeness. Peace is not allowing the strife to overwhelm us, okay? It doesn't mean, you know, the Bible says, and this is where we struggle sometimes with these terms, because the Bible says the world is going to love us or hate us. Yeah, okay? So we have to recognize there's going to be strife if we're a Christian, all right? But he says, I can give you my peace. That is different than what the world gives. It doesn't mean there's not going to be war going around. But I can still give you peace because I am with you. You see, that peace says that it doesn't matter if my body dies, because I have only got something to gain when my body dies. Isn't that beautiful? If I know Jesus, death is gain. If I know Jesus, this struggle I'm going through is gain, because I will learn from it. Doesn't mean it's easy, but it means that I'm going to gain from it. All right. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. We've already talked about that in the omnipresent, and we had a scripture there. Here's another scripture out of Ezekiel. And this is, again, a future talking about the city that's going to be established, and it's 18,000 cubits round about. And the name of that city from that day shall be the Lord is there. Now, what I want us to also recognize is the promise of the Lord being there is for all of us. Even for those who don't know him, the Lord is there waiting. He wants to be actually involved in their lives instead of one who is simply seeing what happens. So you see, the non-believer, the Lord is also there, but he's not ruling their life. So they don't have the benefit of his vision, his sight, of knowing what the path is they should take, because they have not accepted his presence. All right, moving right on. Jehovah Jireh. I told you we were going to talk about... skipped right over. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. This was when the Israelites had been taken out of Egypt. And he says, I'm not going to give you all of the diseases that the Egyptians had, because I am Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals you. All right? So, but I want you to see this one, when he gave it to the Israelites, was one of the if-then promises. You remember in Scripture, there are several things that it says, if you do such and such, I will do this. This is one of those. He says, if you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God, do what is right in his sight, listen to his commandments, and keep his statutes, then I will put none of the diseases on you which I have put on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord, your healer. Hallelujah. Now we're ready for Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. Genesis 22:14. This is a story we're all familiar with. Abraham is told by God to sacrifice his son. Yeah, you've heard that story. And we've all wondered, why would God do that? Because he had a lesson. The lesson is provided when Abraham was faithful. And he is prepared to do what God says. He has the altar built. He has his son on the altar. He's raising the sword or the knife or whatever it is he was going to use to perform the sacrifice. And the Lord said, what? Stop. And there in the thicket was the sacrifice. And Abraham said, this place shall be called the Lord will provide, because he provided today. Jehovah Jireh. Guys, this is the same God that we serve. He is a God who wants to provide for us. So we can count on that. Sometimes we lose sight of what provision should be or needs to be. And we want things that have nothing to do with provision, like 55-inch screen TVs. Yeah, I like that. But do I need that? Do I have to have it to live? No. Okay? His provision is, I will provide every need. You know, in the New Testament, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. You go back and you look at what the things were in the context of that story. It was the things that we needed. Food, shelter, clothing. The things we needed. Do I need the fanciest suit? I'm sure you all know that I have my stuff all hand-tailored, right? JCPenney outlet. Anyway, that's the whole idea. He will provide. But it doesn't say that we get to all drive Jaguars, Mercedes. It says, I will provide your needs. Okay? Now, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. This is one where they, again, the Israelites are in the wilderness and they are coming upon the Amalekites. And wait a second. Look at my notes. Yes, this is that one, all right? Right after they're in the desert, shortly after the waters of Marah, okay? So it's 2 chapters after the waters of Marah. And he defeats them, and Abraham builds an altar. Again, because he wants for his people to remember what God did. The Lord, my banner. For us, we immediately start to think of something like those over there that we wave in praise. But we need to recognize that these banners were war banners. And he said, I am the God who is the banner who goes before you. I want you to think about how many battles he went before. I want you to think about how the prophet, surrounded by the enemy, he has no army except what? The army of God. He prays for his servant because his servant is scared out of his pants. He says, give him spiritual insight that he may see. Not only that, then this spiritual army marches this other army down to the king of Israel. Talk about a miracle. It's amazing. This is what God wants to do for his people. Then Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. This is one that we are all familiar, right out of Psalm 23. But I want you to think about what this really means. We see this picture of him leading his sheep in this beautiful, green, lush valley. You've seen the paintings, haven't you? Okay, then when you start looking at the land of Israel, you realize that we're not talking about the verdant meadows that we have here in the United States. It's a totally different understanding. But he led them to where they could find the grass, because there was not grass on every hill over there. There was some pretty desolate places. And the shepherd would lead them. He would protect them from all the things that were trying to come against him. Then he would sometimes have to hook them because they were being stubborn, and he had to use his staff and correct them. That's all a part of a shepherd. Feeding, protecting, leading, watering. All right. Now, I have listed, and I'm just going to read through these. We aren't going to go into any detail. Additional attributes of God, and you can look all of these up. He is eternal, Psalm 90, verse 2. He is sovereign, Ephesians 1, 11. He is love, 1 John 4, 8. He is good, Matthew 19, 17. He is ever-present, Psalm 139, 7 through 11. Righteous, Psalm 11, 17. Holy, Psalm 99, 3. Faithful, Lamentations 3, 23. All-knowing, Acts 15, 18. Long-suffering, Psalm 86, 15. Unchanging, Malachi 3, 6. True, John 17, 3, all-powerful, Revelation 19, 6, and kind, Psalm 31, 21. This is just scratching the surface, guys. We could preach for the rest of our lives just on what God is and all He has done, because there's no way that we can really understand all of it. And that's what I want you to get today. We serve a God who you and I cannot really grasp. We see parts of Him and we are thrilled and excited and blessed by His presence in our lives. But there is so much more. You will be constantly learning more about our God until the day you die. And that's exciting. That our God is so awesome, so strong, so wonderful, so merciful, so loving. You know, and all of us, probably the merciful one, is one that we could probably spend the rest of the day sharing how He's been merciful when He should have struck us. You know, for all the things that we willfully did or didn't do. God said to do something and we said, no, we've got a better idea. I can't do that, Lord. We forget, God says, you can do all things through Him who strengthens you, which is Christ. Amen? Amen. So I'm going to stop. I hope that you see that we're just building a foundation here. Next week, for the next 3 weeks, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we're going to struggle with terms. We're going to talk about ideas and differences. And I want us to recognize that we are seeking to build a scriptural basis for what God is in our lives. Amen? Amen. And now unto Him who is able to present each of us faultless, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, now and forevermore. Amen.